from the point, but I'm from Southwest. And every now and then I get put to the test, but I can't be stopped, cause I gotta come through, ain't got no gun, but I got my...
Welcome back to the Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, and you're on the award-winning Truth, the Truth, 101.7 Radio. It's 3 o'clock, it's Black Adventure Week, Mindful Motivation Monday. Nah, we got to get practical because I don't do inspiration without instructions. I can't do inspiration without instructions. I already hear the excuse. That's beautiful. Will Smith. We talking about Will Smith. I'm not Will Smith. We talking about how he went to different parts of the world, did his thing, came back to his home life, his mansion, all that stuff. But you're thinking, I got a job. I got kids, a car note. And that's good. That's perfect. Because adventure was never about the size. Adventure is a decision, not a budget. It's not a mountain. It's a direction. It's a direction. And that's what I'm aiming to give you. We are a people who came out of a place. We're a people who came out of a place, Africa. And we decided to populate the earth, explore. But within that population, within that populating the earth, we decided to explore. We did things that were unknown, unreachable by a whole lot of people. So, and your brain proves it. Novelty. Anything genuinely new fires the same dopamine reward, whether it's in the Himalayas or a new neighborhood. In this city, especially in this city that you've never even driven through, the hit comes from newness, not the altitude. It comes from being in a place that's new. There's even a reason summers felt endless when you were 9-10 years old. Now a whole new year later, everything vanishes. When everything's familiar, your brain just compresses it and barely records it. Newness is what makes time feel full again. So adventure at your size isn't second place. It's literally how you get more out of your life, out of the same number of days that you're living. Think about it. What it looks like for, if you're a woman, what does it look like for you in Milwaukee? Solo dinner, whatever, phone down on purpose, the first flight by yourself, road trip to a town you've never seen with no plan. And the big one for us is the passport. Just apply is step one. You don't need the trip book. You need the document that says, I'm the kind of person of the world. I'm the kind of person that the world is going to open up to. So get yours, get your teenagers, get your kids' passports, and make it a family project instead of a family fantasy. Allow yourself to do things that you're looking to, that you look on social media and think that I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to get there. Get off of social media and get on with your life. So it's a very interesting video I ran across. It's about this plane swap. And it was a Red Bull plane swap. And there's a reason why I'm bringing this up, because for these two people, they're cousins. And they decided to get into this stunt. They've done a number of jumps, but they decided to advertise Red Bull and then also do a plane swap in midair. Now, it's a little far. That's a little far-fetched, but they decided to knock this out. Same idea. Because when you push your extreme, the whole world becomes an oyster. I mean that literally. you have we are at this place in our lives, especially in Milwaukee, where pushing the extreme is a possibility. So Red Bull put up this stunt. It's called Plane Swap. They took two cousins, Luke and Andy. They're lifelong pilots, lifelong skydivers. They flew up in these twin engine Cessnas, 14,000 feet. Put both planes into a straight nosedive. They jumped out of midair, and the plan: skydive down and land in each other's plane. So skydive, switch planes in midair. Nobody in human history has ever done it. And here's the part. Here's the honest part that matters. It only half worked. One of the cousins skydived into the other plane, took the controls, basically landed it clean in Arizona. But the other cousin's plane, he couldn't get in. So he had to pull his parachute and he floated down. And the plane crashed. Nobody was hurt. But here's the lesson. Because this is the whole point of adventure at any size. That plane swap started as a little sketch on a piece of paper. Literally on a piece of paper. So, and it made like a magazine cover. Like, this is a part of adventure that I think we as a people are missing. Imagine it. Sketching something out and then doing it is a part of manifestation. So the rest of their story, they jumped out of planes 21,000 times. And, you know, I'm sure they didn't wake up and think, man, this is impossible. They woke up and was like, man, we need to push this bar a little further. And so until the idea became a little oyster that they carried around. So is danger the goal? Nah. It's that every time you go one notch past what scares you, the whole map of what's possible for you gets larger and larger. They pushed swapping planes to the max until the sky was on the table. You push until the solo flight is on the table, then the passport, then the country you never thought you stand in. Some law of nature is just your altitude. That's it. The world opens up. The world actually opens up as wide as you're willing to push the edge. I think, honestly, if we had to think about this entire thing, this what we're supposed to do as a people, as many times as we have car chases in Milwaukee and people, you know, putting their lives in danger and, you know, fights on the street and you name it. If we're able to understand where to put our energy, then we would be conquering these, and not saying that these people are our role models. But if we're looking at the level of adventure, we can not only do the same thing, but we can do things and push things further than everyone else in the world. We look at basketball, you look at baseball, we look at football. Football has never been more athletic than it is now. Basketball has never been more athletic and more record-breaking than it is now. Baseball has never been athletic and more record-breaking than it is now. We're looking at hockey, track, all these places where human desire, passion has blown up to superhuman extent. We were always the people in the forefront. Jazz, in terms of music, looking at jazz, all levels of instruments, every instrument you can think of, you'll find a person of color in front of that particular instrument. And this is what is possible for us. This may not be the best topic for us to listen to today, but I think it's one of the most important topics that we need to address as a people, especially here in Milwaukee. Because we have so much potential. We have people, if you ride up and down certain streets, you'll find bar, church, fast food. And why? Why? Because the goal of each of those places is to keep you in the box. That is the goal. But then the person thinking out of the box will do something completely different to change the norm of the topography, the environment that they live in, that everybody in that place around that area lives in. Because we know what's possible for us, and we've got the receipts, names, numbers. Black folks standing on top of exact places they told weren't ours are ours. And I'm gonna prove it to y'all. There's some names that I'm going to mention in the next 3 minutes. I need y'all to tune in and listen to. We'll be back on the award-winning Truth.
One for the money, yes sir, two for the show. A couple of years ago, on Headland and DeLow. What's the starter? Something good. Where me and my drove the martyr through the hood, just trying to find that hookup. Now every day we looked up at the ceiling, watching ceiling fans go round, trying to catch that feeling off instrumental. Had my pencil and plus my paper. We caught the 86 lot on your head to Decatur, writing rhymes, trying to find our spot off in that light. Light off in that spot, knowing that we can rock, doing the hole in the
yes, welcome back, welcome back to The Grapevine. I'm your host, Manon Sabir. What the business is, looking to discover and support local businesses in our community. And then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. We Energies is proud to help power local businesses and the communities they serve. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. And we're talking about adventure. This is Black Adventure Week. And, you know, I've got a little science and history for you. Now we got the proof. Real people, real names. Because it's for us too. It's not just a hope. It's a fact with a little bit of roll call. So we got this lady got by the name of Sophia Denenberg, first Black woman to stand on top of Mount Everest. Matthew Henson, North Pole, 1909, arguably the first end of the history books. Manoah Anu and the Full Circle Everest team, the first all-Black team to take on Everest, Mount Everest, together, a team, a whole team. Barrington Irving, straight out of Miami. Kid flew solo around the world, one of the youngest to ever do it. Did it to show kids in Miami, in the neighborhood, that the sky was theirs. These people are not exceptions to the rule. They are the rule. They are the rule. They're just what normal looks like once the gate is locked, once the gate is unlocked. The only thing they did was refused other people's scripts. They tossed everybody else's script away, and they did what they had to do. I'm going to tell you about Tara Roberts. We're going to talk about Tara. Look, we got that video played up. Let's.
Laura Roberts. We first met her when her underwater journeys to find lost slave ships made the cover of National Geographic, where she is an explorer in residence. Now she's sharing more about her experiences in her new book out this morning. It is called Written in the Water.
All right, appreciate Tara. It. We can cut it right there. Think about it. Think about it. And I saved this one for you because specifically for my sisters out there, specifically for y'all, because everybody else I named climbed up and flew out. This woman went into the ocean. And what she's bringing back is going to, it like we are, we see, you see it. What she's bringing back is wrecking everybody else's thought in the best way. Her name, Tara Roberts. A real-life National Geographic explorer. First black woman on the cover of that magazine as an explorer. The first black woman, an explorer, a storyteller, a scholar. This is the part I need y'all to hear how it happened. Because I can sit here and honestly give you news about her, but it'll behoove me not to do it. We got to give you what she's about. Living in D.C. 2016, she walks to the National Museum of African American History and Culture and sees one photograph, a group of scuba divers on a boat, mostly black women smiling. So it was just a photo and just stopped her right there in her tracks. So she finds out who these women are. They're part of a group called Diving with Purpose. Black divers who go down, search for wrecks of slave ships, because here's the history that nobody sat us down and told. Over the 400 years of the Atlantic slave trade, an estimated, very probably loose, 1,000 ships carrying our ancestors sank. They went to the bottom of the ocean. More than 1.8 million African people. No grave markers. In the water. Most of them never named, never mourned, and never found. Tara Roberts, a journalist with a great job, NDC quit, learned to scuba dive, and from scratch gave her life to going down into the deep to find these lost slave ships, to document the wrecks, to raise their names and their stories back up into light with love, with honor, with respect. That's how you're supposed to do it. That's how you're supposed to do it. Now, put that up against everything I said today. We talked about the will to move being in our blood. This lady dives into the same oceans our ancestors were dragged across in chains on. And she does it as a free black woman by choice, with this little tube on her back. The same water that was the site of the worst thing that ever happened to us. She turned it into a place to reclaim people's lives. Straight up. So this is not an adventure. That's adventure as healing. To quit her job and to do what she's doing now is absolutely healing. And that's going deep. That's going deep, deep, deep to bring your people home. If you stand here, and here's the thing. We know the majority of those ships that traveled, if you ever been on the Atlantic or around the Atlantic, if you stand on the coast of Florida, you'll find that the trade winds hit you in the face all the time. So the transatlantic slave ship, those ships didn't even have to put up a sail if they didn't want to, because the current would take them there. The wind would blow behind the ships. Very, very simple. A lot of times you can stand on the coast of Florida and Georgia, on the coast of Georgia, and find what? You'll find that the sand, even the sand would hit you, they would hit you in the face from the Sahara. The sub-Saharan sand would hit you in the face at certain times of the summer in Georgia and also Florida. For real. That's exactly what happens. So diving with purpose, these people train every single day. Kids as young as 16, they do this work. So this isn't a superhero story that you have to watch. You can actually join. It's a real life invitation. Somebody's teenager in this city who thinks the water's not for them could grow up to be the one who finds the ship and names the ancestors on it. We have a lake right next to us. Right next to us. That where people do scuba dive. You can learn to scuba dive at a local gym with a pool and then go out and learn to scuba dive and then take it even further to take your talents to the oceans and do the same exact thing. But this is the part of us being able to take adventure and or take our skill sets and push them as far as we possibly can. There's something in adventure that allows people to see what, even in their daily job, that allows you to use the skill set of being adventurous, using that skill set to push your life further, to have purpose, have meaning. A lot we sit and we wait. There's no waiting. There's no waiting with adventure because you're always chasing something. So I got to honor this, honestly. When we come back, I want to talk about a story that I ran across a couple of days ago, and it was about some climbers. And if you guys could probably hear, like, I'm that outdoors person. I like the outdoors. I like being outdoors and being in the woods and being on the mountain. And all of that. And, you know, there's a certain respect you have to have with nature and for nature in order to be in that place. So, yes, there's this next story is not as sad. It's sad, but there's a place. There's a time and place to really tell this story, and I think this story really is going to hit home because it's a story about a Nepalese Sherpa, and he took his team to this place called Broad Peak in Pakistan, and they wound up encountering an avalanche, and there was about 10 climbers in this group of individuals that were climbing up this peak. Very, very experienced climbers. You know, before you climb up, you do go through training, a lot of training before you are able to climb the various peaks on mountains. So when I come back, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. We'll be back in 3. This is the award-winning The Truth 101.7. Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Yes, welcome back. You got to get up, get out, and get something. This is The Truth. And if you're going to come to the Truth Family Food Family Fest, mark your calendars. Join us for Truth Family Fest on Saturday, August 22nd from 11 to 2 at Riverside University High School. It's free and fun for the entire family. We got great music, community resources, family activities, and back-to-school support to help students get ready for a successful year. And if you're interested in volunteering, visit the Truth's website at 1017thetruth.com to complete the volunteer form or by emailing sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. That's sierra.brown@milwaukeeblackmedia.com. Bring the entire family and experience one of Milwaukee's favorite community celebrations, True Family Fest, Saturday, August 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And special thanks to Educators Credit Union, American Family Insurance, Milwaukee Public Schools, Artists Working in Education, City of Milwaukee, Department of Community Wellness and Safety, and Ascension for making this possible. Love it. So today we're talking about adventure. This is the Black Adventure Week. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. I got news for you tomorrow also, but you know, something was on my mind, and I decided to really give everybody a kind of a look at what adventure for Black people is, what it's about. This is Mindful Motivation Mondays. And if you're listening, remind yourself to push the ticket. It may be a Monday, but you're already planning what to do for next week or this weekend. You're already planning. Oh man, you know, I need to go somewhere. Let's jet out of here. I'm at work. You know, it's work. Work is work. I gotta get out. Time to go. All right, cool. Get out of here. Bounce. Make it happen. But plan an adventure. We got a lot of stuff in Wisconsin that you can do for yourself. A lot of adventures around here. So before I went to break, I was discussing about a Nepalese guy from Nepal. He was a Sherpa, but a very, very world famous Sherpa. He led a group of 10 people, 10 climbers in this place called in Pakistan on a mountain called Broad Peak. So it's like one of the areas in on a mountain. And all 10 died. Yep. Including the guy, the guy's name was Normal Porja. He was one of the greatest Sherpas ever to live, one of the greatest guides, I should say. And he roped together, all these people were roped together, a Nepali woman, Nepali person, a Omani person, American, a Chinese, every color, every faith, going up together, and they died exploring the unknown. So let's roll that clip real quick.
This is the team near base camp at the bottom of Broad Peak, days before they set out on what would be their final ascent. The expedition was led by celebrated Nepali-born climber Nimrao Pooja, known as Nims, who rose to fame after scaling all 14 of the world's 8,000-meter-plus mountains in just over 6 months. The last record took nearly 8 years. Broad Peak is in the Karakoma Range, straddling the border between Pakistan and China. The mountain is regarded as one of the more challenging for climbers and is the 12th highest summit in the world. On the morning of July 30th, the team was on the western ridge of Broad Peak, between Camp 2 and 3, at around 6,600 meters. GPS tracking data indicated the avalanche struck shortly after 9 a.m. local time, sweeping the 10 climbers down the mountain's west-facing gully.
Oh my God.
These pictures were filmed from base camp. Search and rescue operations began. Pakistan's military deployed helicopters and ground teams scrambled to respond. On Friday, rescuers said 4 bodies had been found. Heavy snowfall temporarily suspended rescue operations before they resumed. The global climbing community held its breath waiting for news of Nims and the other climbers. Then, on Saturday, the news they had been dreading. In a statement posted on social media, Nims' company, Elite Expeditions, confirmed all 10 of the climbers had died.
It's with profound sadness and immense heartbreak that we confirm Nirmal Nimsday Pooja tragically lost his life following the avalanche on Broad Peak.
For Fida Ali, it was a narrow escape. The Pakistani guide had set out with the team but returned to base camp early after a Russian climber was taken ill. The international mountaineering community is mourning the loss of a man who conquered the world's highest peaks and brought the importance of Sherpas to the forefront of the mountaineering world. Joel Evans, Al Jazeera.
Appreciate it. So That's the unknown. And we can complain and talk about what's going on in our little city. We can talk about how things are, you know, we can talk about the teen takeover. We could talk about, you know, the violence over here and all that stuff. But if we're not doing the work, if we're not doing what we're supposed to do for the next person, if we're not looking to get, if we're not looking to extend legacy, then we're working against it. We're hustling backwards. And that's what we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be hustling backwards. We should be moving forward. We got, I mean, mad parties. A lot of parties. I'm not complaining because I think there's a reason and a way for it. But we got this party and that party. And these, I mean, bringing together thousands of people. But imagine if we had a party for our kids. Imagine if we had, because rather than a vain response, our kids would know it's actually for them. Our kids would know it's for them. It's real. We do it a lot. We do it a lot in this city, in Milwaukee. And when there's an example of individuals dying for pushing the ticket, pushing their lives to the very edge, my thought is that if we're able to push our lives to the very edge, to the very edge of legacy building, of extending our compassion, empathy, and love to our community, we can overcome all of this. And I had mentioned just the teen takeovers as one thing. Imagine those two young kids in Atlanta receiving $50,000, and we know that some of our, I'm daring to say this, but some of our hip hop artists proclaim that on record that they spend, you know, 50 in a weekend, 50 in a day. That's crazy. That's wild to me to spend that amount of money. But then these kids got a right for 50 G's to have a place for young kids to harness their energy. Yep. That's what you call hustling backwards. That's exactly what you call it. We have to do better. Straight up. So these people died exploring the unknown. And in the grief of it, they died actually living fully, fully awake. But here's a question that ties it to everything. How many people die the other way, never having left the block, never having left base camp, their base, their foundation, because somebody convinced them that having that adventure was for other people. Going to the lake, down Center Street, down North Avenue, down Capitol, down Hampton, down Silver Spring, down Lisbon, and whatever other street, down Burnham and Mitchell and all these other places, going east to the lake. How many people have convinced other folks that it wasn't necessary? It wasn't necessary. And to explore just one part of the lake. To explore one part of the lake. You know how many beaches are on Lake Michigan? Between the border of Wisconsin and Chicago and back up north, hundreds of beaches. You can explore all of them. You don't have to just go to Bradford Beach for the people that actually venture to the beach. You don't have to just go to whatever part of the lake that you see off the hill, off the Snake Hill. You don't have to do that. Go to different places. You can leave. Somebody convinced somebody that was the place to be. And that's the quiet tragedy. That's the quiet trauma. And it's one we can actually prevent for ourselves and for our kids. So these people that died on this mountain refused the script. The story that they were told, they threw it out. And they decided to live their own way. And we all have the ability to live our own way. And that's the point of today. That's it. We can live however we want to live. So y'all live how y'all want to live. And it'll work out. Of course it will. But if you want to go beyond, throw the script away and do what you feel is out of your mind. When someone says it's impossible, go do it and you'll find out. We're going to come back in 3 minutes. We're going to continue to discuss Mindful Motivation Mondays and why this is Adventure Week for me.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know you love working weekends.
This is a good one. Welcome back to the Grapevine. We're picking some grapes. We're going to pick a big grape today. This is a Black Adventure Week for me, and we're going to have a little adventure. This is my adventure because I like when a group gets paid back, paid black, as Homer Blow says, paid black. This is, what if I told you that one of the biggest genres in the world may owe what up, Homer? Oh man, hey, Homer's in the studio. Look, I literally just, man, I remember reading it today and I was like, okay, he's coming at 4, but I didn't even recognize that you was here. Thanks, Homer. Appreciate it. But I'm sure, I don't know if you heard this, Homer, but one of the biggest genres in the world may owe its full success to Jamaicans. Watch this. Two Jamaican producers. And now they're asking the jury one simple question. Did y'all build a billion-dollar industry on our beat without paying us? So this isn't about reggaeton. This is about black creativity, intellectual property, and who profits when culture really goes global. So real quick, a federal judge refused to throw out a copyright lawsuit bought by legendary Jamaican producers. Everybody know who these people are. Steely and Cleavy, Cleveland Brown and the estate of Wyclef Johnson. The producers argued that the foundational drum pattern from their 1989 instrumental Fish Market became the backbone of thousands of reggaeton songs without permission. Very deep. So both sides presented very credible expert testimony about whether the rhythm is original enough for copyright protection. The judge ruled the dispute should continue rather than deciding it for himself. So he did not. He continued on. So artists and companies named include major reggaeton figures such as Bad Bunny, J Balvin, and a whole lot of other people. They argue that the rhythm evolved from multiple dance hall sources and it's too common to belong to any one creator. Very, very deep. So meaning that if they win this argument, that's millions upon almost $1 billion worth of success. Very, very interesting. And this is the type of adventure that I'm talking about. That if we are adventurous individuals, if we tune into our wanderlust gene, our DRD C7R gene, the gene that got us out of Africa, if we're able to tune into that, if we're able to flip that gene on, then this is the type of thing that helps us become or look at adventure as something that's possible. This is adventurous. For mentally, this is highly adventurous to look at your as Jamaican producers not having anything to lose, argue that the foundational drum pattern from an album, their instrumental Fish Market, to become the backbone to reggaeton. They said there's over 2,000 reggaeton songs. So if they win this, then all of those songs owe a percentage to these individuals, Steely and Cleavey. Very, very interesting. And this isn't really about reggaeton. We're not going to come down and tamp down on reggaeton. It's about who owns the culture. Who owns the culture? Because we know all rhythms are African. We all know all rhythms are African. But it's about also, can a rhythm be intellectual property? And this is something for all of us to think about. Can a rhythm be intellectual property? And at what point does inspiration become exploitation? At what point does inspiration become exploitation? Why do the original innovators often struggle financially while others become global superstars? I mean, the writer for, I forgot his name, but the writer for Elvis Presley, he literally went on Johnny Carson and sang the Elvis Presley song. Like, person like that. It reminds me of that scene in Five Heartbeats when they had they were trying to decide on, you know, their album cover and all this other stuff. So, you know, they went to Big Red and his friend or whatever, and they go into the studio and they're sitting down, and the record label guy comes in and he says, you know, we like you guys, but we got somebody who would appeal to the masses. So they bring in the Four Horsemen. I mean, and so they have this album cover. They grab this album cover. They leave out, and the guy who plays, not Dresser, but the other guy, like he complains. He's like, they're always double crossing, double cross to double cross, and he shoots the record in the air, and the record comes out. And that's the truth. They're always double crossing the people who create the most in this society. And that's us. We're always the ones who are the canaries in the coal mine. We're always the original innovators. We're always the people who are, we're not the exploitators. We are the exploitees. They exploit us a lot. So it's not about who owns the culture, but can a rhythm be intellectual property? And they're aiming to prove it. How many times have black people created something only to watch somebody else patent it, package it, market it, and become rich from it? For real. How many times? I want you guys to ask yourselves that. Then look at blues and rock and roll, gospel, pop, jazz, modern music, dance hall, reggaeton, hip hop, slang, went to corporate marketing. This is real, man. This is very interesting. We always are the canaries in the coal mine. But when we fall out and when we fly away, or we fall out and, you know, and we tell you, like, this is what's going to happen in the future, i.e. Donald Trump, it's going to happen. So I need y'all to understand that if you are outside this weekend, challenge yourself to do something different. Challenge yourself to make a real pledge to be loud in that difference. This isn't a segment that you just are listening to. This is a call to action. This is your call to action. Get started today. Come back next week sometime. Tell me about it. The wild doesn't care where our people are from and never did. The horizon is calling our name. Make sure you do what you're supposed to do. Get that passport. Travel around the world. Expand your horizons. If I haven't told you once, I'll tell you again. I love y'all. I love you. I love you. We have Jazz. Tap in with Jazz next with the Homer Blow. Oh, my gosh. Let's go. We'll be back.